Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Hello, church, and good morning. Good morning to you. It's so great to be with you this morning. And what a privilege we have to come around God's Word. For those who don't know me, my name is John Kamu. My wife Liz and I are members of New Horizon Church, and we serve under the leadership of our senior pastor, Andy Dillnon. And what a privilege, what an honor to serve under such a great man of God. I would like to start actually by saying massive thank you to you, Pastor Andy, and the leadership team for giving me this opportunity to be able to bring the Word of God. May the Lord bless you so much. Well, as you come around God's Word this morning, I just want to encourage everyone watching this morning to stay tuned, because God is going to speak to you. The Bible, which is the Word of God, is undiluted, inspired Word of God, full of truth. It's full of truth. And that's why the Bible says in John 8:32, that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth that shall make you free. Therefore, this morning, as you come around God's Word, can I encourage you to open your heart? Open your heart and let God speak to you this morning. Stay tuned in, because God is going to speak to you this morning. If you have your Bible, or if you have a Bible app, I would like to encourage you to go with me in the book of John, chapter number 20 and verse number 24. The Bible says, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have not seen me, you have believed. Sorry, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" I'm going to repeat that verse again. "Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" What a word. What a word this morning. What a word. Therefore, the title of my sermon this morning is Overcoming Unbelief. Overcoming Unbelief. As a Christian and as a child of God, it's very important for us to believe in what God has said in His Word. It's very, very important. Jesus, speaking in Mark chapter number 9 and verse number 23, He said, "Everything is possible to them that believe." Everything is possible to them that believe. And that's why in the portion of the scripture where we've read, He told Thomas that blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So therefore, belief is a defining factor in our journey with God. It's very important. And in the portion of the scripture we've read, just to give a bit of context, in John chapter number 19, we see is a story about the crucifixion and the death of Jesus. Then in chapter number 20, it begins by Mary Magdalene going to the tomb to check, because Jesus died and he was buried in the tomb. So she rose very early in the morning and she went to the tomb to check whether the body of Jesus was there. She went in and the body was not there. So what she did is she ran back to the disciples to give the report and say they have taken him away. So the disciples, two of them, one was Simon Peter and the other disciple, they ran back to the tomb to check whether actually what Mary was saying is the truth. And they went in and the body was not there. The two disciples went back, but Mary stayed outside the tomb crying. Watch this. She had another look. And she saw two angels, one sitting at where the feet of Jesus were, and one sitting where the head of Jesus was laid. And when she looked on the right-hand side, she saw Jesus himself, but she could not recognize him. She thought, actually, the Bible says, she thought Jesus was a gardener. But Jesus recognized Mary and he said, Mary. Then Jesus told Mary, go, don't hold on to me. I need to go to the Father, my Father and your Father, your God and my God. But go and tell the disciples that I have risen. And Mary went and gave that report. The disciples, when they were in the room and the room was locked, guess what? Jesus appeared. Master himself, he appeared to his disciples. And in the portion of the scripture we read, they were sharing the same story with Thomas. They were saying, Thomas, Jesus who died, he's risen and he actually appeared to us. He was with us. The Lord was with us. He was here. But Thomas could not believe it. He said, until I see it, that's when I will believe it. Until I see it, that's when I will believe it. And I'm just going to pause there for a moment and say, we've got to believe it before we see it. As children of God, we've got to believe it before we see it. We've got to believe it, church. And I don't know what you're believing God for this morning. You could be there, you're watching, and you're believing for a turnaround in your situation. Can I just encourage you and say, God is able to do it for you. Just believe he will do it for you. We stand on the word of God and we believe he's able. He's able to do it for us. Therefore, believe, as I said, is very important in the life of a Christian. The reason why the enemy brings fear and things to throw us off balance in life, it's so that he can mess up with our belief. He does not want us. He wants to contaminate our belief. He does not want us to believe that God can do it for us. And that's why he brings fear and torment. Because he knows when we believe, as the Bible says in Mark, everything is possible to those that believe. Therefore, when I read this portion of the scripture where we've read, I asked God, God, how can we overcome unbelief? Because there are so many people I've spoken to personally in the place of work, and they're struggling with unbelief. They want to see it before they can believe it. While God is expecting us to believe it before we see it. Come on, church. God is expecting us to believe it before we can see it, because he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's able to do it for you. Therefore, how can you overcome unbelief? How can you overcome unbelief? I'm going to share with you a few points. And the first point is, how to overcome unbelief is, you have to believe that you are a child of God. You have to believe that you are a child of God and you belong to God's family. You belong to his family. He chose you before you chose him. That's what the book of Ephesians 1:3 says. We've been adopted to the family of God. And we've got to believe that. The enemy wants to make you feel out of place. He doesn't want you to believe that you belong to the family of God. But I'm here this morning with a word from the Lord. You've got to believe that you belong to the family of God. You are a child of God. There's a wonderful song I like listening to, that I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And maybe that's your word this morning. You are no longer a slave to fear. You are a child of God. Therefore, that's one of the ways of overcoming unbelief. You've got to believe that you belong to the family of God and you're a child of God. In the book of 1 John, chapter number 4 and verse 4, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Come on, church. Greater is he, the Holy Spirit, Christ in me, the hope of glory, is greater than he that is in the world. Can I just pause there for a moment and say, our God is greater than what we are going through. He is greater. Therefore, for you to be able to overcome the unbelief, you've got to believe that I am a child of God and I belong to the family of God. The second point is, we've got to believe that God has a plan for your life. He's got a plan for your life and for my life. And we've got to believe that. We've got to know that. Let that settle in your heart, that God has a plan for your life. In the book of Jeremiah, wonderful scripture, chapter number 29 and verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Come on, church. God has a plan for your life. David speaking in Psalm 139 and verse number 13, he said, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So don't allow the enemy to tell you something different and suggest something different. You are wonderful and fearfully made by God. And he's got a plan for your life. He's got a wonderful plan for your life. And the third point is, ways of overcoming unbelief is to believe that God is able to bring these plans to pass. We have to bank on that. We have to believe in God's capacity and capability to be able to bring these plans to pass. Because there's nothing impossible in God and with God. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 19 and verse 26, Jesus speaking, he said, Jesus looked at them and he said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things, church, are possible." There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing too hard for God. And we've got to believe that word, that there is nothing too hard for God. The second point I said was, God has got a plan for you and for your life. The third point is, God is able to bring these plans to pass because he's a great God. The fourth point is how to overcome unbelief. We have to believe that our God is powerful. Oh, what a word. Our God is powerful. David speaking in Psalm 62:11, he said, "God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God." Our God is powerful, church, and we've got to believe that. So when the enemy tries to bring challenges and different ideas, we have to stand on that word and believe, my God is powerful. Our God is powerful. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all we think or imagine, according to the power that is in us. Because our God is powerful,
What he's done is he's given us power that is in us. So when you go through seasons in life, when you go through challenges, you've got to stir up the power in you. Stir it up. Stir up the power in you by listening to God's word, by praying and believing God that you're coming out stronger than you went in the name of Jesus. Therefore, our God is a powerful God, and God has put power in you so that you can be able to overcome. You can be able to overcome. Remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, because you're a child of God. You're a child of God. Our God is powerful. Hallelujah. And the fifth point, and I'm coming to close now, is stop doubting and believe. What a word. That's what Jesus told Thomas in John 20 and verse number 27. He said, then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And I strongly feel that's a word for someone out there. You need to stop doubting and believe. And that's one of the ways of overcoming unbelief. You have to stop doubting and believe what God has said in his word. We have to believe it, church. Stop doubting. Thomas, he walked with Jesus for 3 years. He saw what Jesus did, miracles, signs, and wonders. But still, he wanted to see it before he could believe it. In other words, he was doubting. He was doubting. And this morning, God is saying to us, stop doubting and believe me. And that's one of the ways of overcoming unbelief. Even in this season, in this 21st century, let's stop doubting and believe the word of God. The Bible says in John 1:1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. Therefore, we have to take the Word of God as it is and believe it. And believe that God is going to do exactly what he said. Therefore, in conclusion, my first point was the way of overcoming unbelief was you have to believe you're a child of God and you belong to God's family. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's what the Bible says in Romans 8:38. Nothing at all can separate us from the love of God. And I'm just going to pause there and let you know that God loves you. He cares about you. He cares about you. And you are inseparable with God. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. And in him you're safe. In him you're secure. And in him you're significant. It's only in him you can find safety. It's only in him you can be secure. And that's why he says nothing can separate us from his love. In John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves you. God loves you. And you've got to believe that. The second point was God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. And you've got to believe it. And sometimes I think it's for us to align ourselves with the plan of God. We have to align ourselves with the will and purpose of God upon our lives. It reminds me of a story in Deuteronomy 2 and verse number 3. The children of Israel were going through this hill, a hill country for a long time. And God said, how long are you going to go around this mountain? It's time to break the camp and move to the north side. And I feel that's a word for someone out there. God has got a plan for your life, but you've got to participate and comply with what he wants to do in your life. You've got to connect with it. Connect with what God wants to do in your life. You've gone around through that mountain of addiction for too long. It's time to break the camp and connect with what God wants to do in your life. Because God has got a great plan for your life and He wants to bring this plan to pass because He's able to do it. Let's align ourselves with the will and purpose of God upon our lives. And the third point is that God is able to bring these plans to pass. And you could be there actually. You're going through a tough time and you're questioning whether God has a plan for your life. Can I just say this to you? God loves you and He's got a plan for your life. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. David speaking in Psalm 31:15, he says, "My times are in your hands." Therefore, it could be there you're going through a tough time. Can I just say to you, God is right there with you. And no season is permanent. No season is permanent. You're coming out and you're coming out strong in the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. My fourth point of overcoming unbelief was believing God is powerful. And we have to believe that God has given us power to overcome. There is power in you. I was giving an example the other day. I was saying that we've got to flip the switch because the power is in you, but you've got to stir it up. It's like having power in your house and the switch is off. You're not going to see the light. But when you flip the switch, the light comes on. I strongly believe that's a word for someone out there. You've got to flip the switch. God is powerful and He's given us power according to Ephesians 3:20. But it's our responsibility as Christians to flip the switch. And that's one of the ways of overcoming unbelief. Flip the switch. There is power in you because greater is He that is in you than is in the world. Flip the switch. And God is going to bless you. The last point in closing now. Got to stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. This is so heavy in my spirit. Jesus told Thomas in John 20 and 27. Then He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Church, God is able to do it for you. Whatever you believe in God for, God is able to do it for you. He's done it before and He's able to do it again. Therefore, I'm just going to stop right there and just encourage you and say, God is able to do it for you. Just believe. Believe. When the enemy tries to throw some suggestions of unbelief in your heart, remind yourself, I am a child of God. God has got plans for my life. God is able to bring these plans to pass. God is a powerful God. I'm not going to doubt, but I'm going to stand on God's word and believe exactly what He said. And you're there. You're believing God for healing this morning. You're healing your body. I'm going to join my faith with your faith and believe for healing this morning. Therefore, God, I pray for someone watching me right now, they are sick in their body. I speak healing, power of God, right now in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, in your name, we shall cast out devils and they shall come out. Therefore, I rebuke that spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing over your body right now in the name of Jesus. You're there. Things around you are falling apart. You've lost your job. You don't know. You feel like it's darkness surrounding you. I'm going to believe God with you this morning. I'm going to join my faith with your faith and believe God for a turnaround in your situation. There's nothing too big for God. All we need to do is to believe that He's able to do it. Therefore, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that person, Lord. There is that if he feels like or she feels like darkness is all over surrounding her. and nothing looks hopeful. There is hopelessness. I speak hope right now, and I speak divine intervention in the name of Jesus. Father, we've seen you turn around situations in the Bible, including the story of Job. You turned around the situation, Lord. Therefore, right now, in the name that is above every other name, I speak and declare in the name of Jesus for a divine turnaround in that situation in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. God is able to do it for you. There's another group of people I'm going to pray for this morning, if you allow me. I'm going to pray for restoration this morning. You feel like you've drawn away from God. God wants you back. He wants you to come back and connect with what He wants to do in your life. God is saying, come back. I've got my arms open wide. I want you back so that I can work with you and in you to bring my plan for your life to pass. It's time for that restoration. Maybe you're doubting whether God's hand is upon your life. I'm here to tell you, God's hand is upon your life, but you've got to believe it in the name of Jesus. I speak restoration right now. I speak a drawing back. You will draw back to God in the name of Jesus. Every chain will break right now in Jesus' name. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Therefore, I speak every chain of addiction is broken right now in the name of Jesus. There will be a drawing back. There will be a drawing back in the name of Jesus. You all of a sudden, you're gonna feel the Holy Spirit is working in you and is drawing you back to God. I encourage you to listen to Him and draw back to God, because God loves you and He's got a great purpose for your life. Oh, I feel God in here. God is so awesome. I want to pray for you if you don't know Jesus. The best gift you can receive is knowing Jesus, is the gift of salvation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and 17, that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. The new is the life and the nature of Christ. It comes in you. Therefore, Christ starts living in you. The nature of God Himself starts living in you and through you. And this morning, I just want to encourage you to give your life to Jesus. God is able to change and to transform your life. Give Him a chance today. Give Him a chance today, because He died for you. He died for you. The Bible says, as I quoted before, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall be saved. Therefore, this morning, I want to pray for you as you give your life to Jesus. Please remember. Please repeat these prayers after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask you for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust you. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer, please send us an email and let us know what God has done in your life. If I've prayed and you are sick in your body and you received healing, send an email to our church email address and let us know what God is doing. So ring us, ring us and let us know what God is doing, because I know God has spoken this morning, and I believe God has touched you this morning in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. I wish you a wonderful week, and may God bless you. Thank you.
I hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.